It's Thursday, October 1st. I'm Akilah Hughes.
And I'm Gideon Resnick, and this is What a Day, where we are kicking off the month by making this entire episode pumpkin flavored.
Yeah, Gideon doesn't want to say this, but he wanted to be candy corn, and we vetoed him.
Next time I'm winning out, come around here on Halloween and see what's up. It's going to be candy corn all freaking day. On today's show, a conversation with Mississippi Democratic Senate candidate Mike Espy, then some headlines.
But first, the latest.
He said that he believes that all black people think the same. And he said, if you're not voting for him and you're black, then you ain't black.
I'm not Chris
Wallace.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. President Trump refused to condemn them during the debate.
Okay. So that was CNN's Jake Tapper booting Trump's campaign communication director, Tim Murtaugh, from his show after he tried to spin Trump's lack of condemnation for white supremacy at that debate we're all trying to forget from earlier this week. It's pretty gangsta.
Yeah, didn't do a great job being communications director there, in my opinion, but...
Nope. Well, on to our topic today. So a lot of the conversation, specifically in recent days, has naturally been about the presidential election. But as evidenced by President Trump's ability to ram through judges, potentially including a third Supreme Court nominee, the Senate is extremely important, too. And there are tons of winnable races for the Democrats this year, including in Maine, Colorado, and North Carolina. But another race that might be flying a little bit under the radar is the Senate seat in Mississippi.
That's right. So the Democratic candidate in that race is Mike Espy. He's a former congressman and was actually the first black congressman to represent Mississippi since Reconstruction. He also was Secretary of Agriculture under President Clinton, and now he's running against Republican incumbent Senator Cindy Hyde Smith. In 2018, Espy also ran against her in a special election where the runoff oddly took place at the end of November. And while Espy lost that race, he got over 46% of the vote, marking one of the closest Senate races in the state in years. Leading up to that election, Democrats thought that it was a winnable race in part because Hyde Smith made a number of disgusting remarks, including a joke about a, quote, public hanging in a state with a dark history of racist violence and lynchings.
Yeah, I wish that racism was less popular, too. But historically, the South has been scapegoated as the most racist place in the country. But things are obviously changing with a younger generation finally getting the chance to make their voices heard and vote. So with Espy's race, while the polling has been spotty, a recent poll showed him almost even with Hyde Smith. Also, his fundraising has shot way up since the passing of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And he recently got endorsements from Democratic nominee Joe Biden and Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. We spoke to him yesterday about how COVID-19 has impacted his state, which is currently seeing an uptick after a much bigger one this summer, as well as the Supreme Court and how he hopes to bring Mississippi together. Here's our conversation.
Secretary Espy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Glad to be with you this morning. Thank you.
So Mississippi hasn't had a Democrat in the U.S. Senate in over 30 years, and you started off this race behind, but a recent poll shows you within just about 1% of your opponent. Where do you think that support is coming from right now? And do you think that you've gotten enough support from the Democratic Party on a national level helping you here?
Really good question. So thank you very much for both of you. And thanks for having me. I'm going to answer that first question with a quote, from Reverend Barber. You know, Reverend Barber with the Poor People's Campaign.
Yeah.
He said to me, I was on a Zoom call with him recently, and he said, Mike, Mississippi is not so much red as it is unorganized. So what it means is that had there been investment in this state, you know, in data development and in researching and getting candidates to run for office, I mean, we would have had much, much more recent progress in Mississippi when it comes to Democrats and progressive candidates in office and running for office. So I ran 18 months ago for the U.S. Senate in the same race against the same incumbent, you know, for a special election. And we only had 6 months to run. We were the last race in the entire country. And we still, although we had to announce our candidacy, stage a campaign, find a staff, train a staff, build the money, we got 47% of the vote. So we have more black voters per capita in Mississippi than any state of the nation. So let's start with that. In order to win this time, we had to build a track for our locomotive to run, build a runway for our plane to take off, and build that bridge so I could cross it and others behind me. So we've built it now because I didn't stop running once I lost last time. So we've got something amazing here built. And what we have to do is continue to build the largest, highest, deepest, most robust coalition in Mississippi's history to get out a vote here in about 5 weeks. So we're creating that coalition that we need. And so I think as for a confluence of factors, there's a reason why. First of all, George Floyd's murder shocked the conscience, and it let all the young people know it's okay to be angry, it's okay to protest, but let's morph the anger and the protest until maybe even something long-lasting. Go ahead and elect someone who not only looks like you, but who understands systemic racism in America. And you don't have to talk so much about police misconduct. Whoever you elect already knows that exists, and let's just work to solve it. And then we have the Mississippi flag, which is had that Confederate emblem on it. That was taken down in about, I'm going to say, 2 months.
Yeah.
Over this summer. I'm 66. I never thought that flag was coming down.
Yeah.
And so that thing came down. And that just shows that people now want a leader to represent the Mississippi that's going now into the third decade of the 21st century. And then the last element, and I'll stop and ask your other question, is, of course, the unfortunate death of Judge Ginsburg. And that showed everybody around the nation, all races are in play. All races deserve notice. Mississippi, with its, you know, ugly past, can be lifted with more infrastructure, like Reverend Barber said. Give us revenue, and we can pull out the greatest Black voter turnout in Mississippi's history. And we can elect someone that's going to protect the Affordable Care Act, that can make sure we have Medicaid expansion.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, healthcare has been a really huge part of your campaign this year, in particular, expanding Medicaid for Mississippi. So can you talk a little bit about why that's so important, especially in your state?
It's important in our campaign because, you're right, Akilah, it's the number one issue in our state. Even now during the pandemic, I mean, we're a small state. We've just about 3 million people, but now we've got 3,000 of those folks dead. Mm-hmm. 90,000, almost 100,000 having been infected. And of course, in almost every other state, there's a disproportionate impact on African American.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is lift up the bottom third of our economic strata in education, in job opportunities, and in healthcare. The reason we're so low, the reason we're number 50 and last, and people are so tired of being last, is because that bottom one third is so low. So we just lift it. Then we lift the fortunes of Mississippi from 50 up to, you know, within midpoint. Mm-hmm. So we have to do it first with healthcare because everything leads from healthcare. Yeah. If you're sick, you can't learn. If you're sick, you can't work. So, if you're sick, you have to be able to pay your bills. Mm-hmm. So we're one of 13 states without Medicaid expansion. All we have to do is just go and this is a legislative prerogative, a state prerogative. But as a federal legislator, I can say I'm going to be the healthcare senator. I want to prod our legislature to do what Oklahoma and Missouri, what they've already done. So that's the number one issue in the campaign because it's the number one issue in Mississippi. We know how to do it. It's already there. It's called the ACA. We've got to protect it. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
And on another issue, you mentioned Justice Ginsburg. So I wanted to ask you about the Supreme Court briefly. Some of your potential Democratic colleagues in the Senate aren't meeting with Trump's Supreme Court nominee and are speaking out about the timing of it being so close to the election. How would you treat this entire situation?
I think what they're doing is sad. I think what Mitch McConnell and the Republican senators are doing is really, really unfortunate because it disrespects the American people. I mean, we've got an election here in 5 weeks. And here in Mississippi, a state that I care about, voting's already started. So I really think, and I have been saying, and I'm emphatic about this, I think that we're just 5 weeks out. So we can wait until we get a new president named, a new president elected. And then that president ought to nominate his person for this important lifetime position. And then we'll have a new Senate, and hopefully I'll be a part of it, and then we can confirm that that Supreme Court nominee. So it just, they're just ramming it through.
Yeah.
And it's a direct risk to the issue we just spoke about, healthcare, because on November 10th, this is the appeal of Obamacare and the ACA, and I want to be there. But that's why they're ramming it through. They want to repeal Obamacare, repeal ACA, repeal coverage for pre-existing conditions, and affect in Mississippi 600,000 of those who have pre-existing illnesses and 500,000 already who enjoy coverage from the ACA. And it's wrong.
Yeah. So we're in the middle of a week where we had our first presidential debate with just, you know, the final two nominees. And I'm sure you've seen that Donald Trump refused to condemn white supremacy in the debate. And he and his campaign have, you know, I would say attempted to clean it up since, but that doesn't mean that they've outright said, like, we've changed our position and we denounce it. So, you know, the senator you're hoping to unseat in Mississippi has said some heinous, racist comments in the past. Obviously, this is a different kind of election year than any in my lifetime, for many people in, you know, memory at all. And with the president refusing to rebuke white nationalism, which obviously should be disqualifying in the year 2020, how can we as a country move forward even after November?
Great question. Great question. Well, I watched that debate last night, as you did, obviously, and I was shocked. But, you know, this is the same president that called the African continent full of SO countries. And I demean women and immigrants and all of that. So we know that he's doing all this for a reason.
Yeah.
He's trying to stir up the culture wars here in America. And it's wrong. I mean, we need a president as a figure of a nation that's unifying and that just pulls everybody together. And that's why I'm so happy here in Mississippi that we took down that flag. I mean, that flag was reminiscent of a day when one human being could own another human being. And yet it's still flying for 163 years.
Right.
I'm running against a senator who in 2014 now was a statewide official. She was Commissioner of Agriculture, just as I was U.S. Secretary of Agriculture.
Yeah.
She went to the Jefferson Davis Museum. She went there. She tried on the little rebel cap with that star in the middle. She tried on the waistcoat. She held a Confederate era rifle. Now, let me stop and say, if you want to go to the museum of whatever ilk, that's fine. The Mississippi flag is not in a museum. If you want to see it, go to the Civil Rights Museum. That's where it belongs. But then when she left the museum, she said, this was the best of Mississippi's history. She said that. We have a senator who said 2014 that was the best of Mississippi's history. Not 1914,
no.
18. She said it 2014. So I tell you, it is not a person who should represent Mississippi going into the third decade of the 21st century. No,
agreed.
She's holding us back. That's why all the young folks age 35 and below are for me. That's why all the Black Lives Matter folks are for me. That's why the upperly mobile, better educated, those that make up that 20%, they're for us. Because they know I'm going to represent everybody. You know, Fannie Lou Hamer lived and died for the right to vote. I spoke this weekend in the Vernon Damer Park, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You know, Vernon Damer was firebombed just for exhorting others to vote. I believe they died for a new flag. They died for open voting. They died to against voter suppression. And so I am somebody that wants everyone to vote, everyone to feel like they're living on a welcoming symbol, and everyone to just unify. And so I would say, in answer to your last question, we just need people who don't believe in divisiveness.
That was Mike Espy, who's running for Senate in Mississippi. If you want to donate to him and other competitive Democratic Senate candidates, head over to votesaveamerica.com/givemitch. It's Thursday, Wad Squad, and for today's Temp Check, we're taking a break from our stressful Supreme Court to discuss a more pleasant Supreme Court in Ireland. On Tuesday, the court ruled against Subway, finding that Subway sandwiches contain too much sugar to be considered bread. That means Subway isn't liable for a tax exemption, which would have applied to payments that they made 15 years ago. Some legal battles are honestly just worth the wait. Mm-hmm. So, Giddy, this is a major debate, and we're both glad it's settled. Separately, though, what are you ordering on your sweet bread at Subway?
My sweet bread, first of all, is Italian herb and cheese. How you start. Then you do foot-long sweet onion chicken teriyaki.
Okay.
You hit it with some pepper jack if you really wanted to get a little spicy. Maybe not before you're meeting somebody for the first time, because can't have that breath combination.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting, like, you know, pickles. I don't really think lettuce. Maybe some jalapenos, banana peppers. It just depends on the spicy level for the day and, you know, what you've eaten before and what you might eat after and who you might speak to after.
I mean, that's what's up. I mean, do you also get, like, the snacks at the end? Do you get, like, a chips or a cookie?
I don't go chips, but I probably lean more cookie if I'm going to get a snack.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember. I haven't been in a long time, so I don't remember if you get, like, one or the other. But the chips is just, like, you know, do you need Lay's from Subway?
Some people might. I mean, you know, maybe you were going to crumble them on your sandwich. But I think that that's a pretty strong order. And I do think that, like, I don't know. I'm a little split on the bread, but I'll get to mine when you ask me about it.
Okay, so you're not... Italian herb and cheese is sort of like, whatever. At that point, you're layering too many flavors on top of flavors,
right?
Of what I was saying.
Yeah, like, you're not tasting that in the bread.
Right. It's more of just like a, interesting. What if one bite is mostly bread? That could be fun. But so what is your proverbial order here?
All right, so I have several orders, and they have changed over time. Currently, I have none because I don't leave my house ever. But
fair.
Back when I was into Subway, I really liked that honey oat bread.
And,
this could be an unpopular opinion. I like the tuna salad. So I like to put that tuna salad with mayonnaise on top. I don't even care that it's additional mayonnaise. We like to have it a little goopy. I like some provolone, tomatoes, lettuce, spinach, pickles, the yellow little banana peppers. And I like to put additional oil, salt, and pepper. So, like, I'm really trying to come out of there with no arteries left.
Right.
And I get the cookie. I like the full, like, double chocolate on chocolate, like the chocolate with the white chocolate chips. And, you know, they have these baked, I feel like they're Doritos. Maybe they're not actually Doritos, but they look like baked Doritos. And I just go ham, and I smell like absolute ass, and I don't make out with anybody, but I am satiated, and I think that that's all that matters.
When was the last time you would say that you had that exact order that you just described?
2005.
Okay, so...
But in my defense, I didn't live near a Subway for most of my time in New York. And also, when you live in New York, you don't eat at Subway.
You're not really...
Subway.
Right, you're not really going to Subway. So, not to, like, get us too off track here, but if the last time you had that was 15 years ago, do you know that you still actually like that order?
Oh, I know I do. I still crave it. I mean, there are times when I'm like, if I could just get some of that very specific tuna salad. Because they don't use a lot of red onions. And every other grocery store that makes their own tuna salad goes ham and cheese on the onions. And I'm like, just like a light dusting of onion is enough. Because the tuna stinks enough. So, yeah, I could go for it now. I don't get the bread toasted, though. Unpopular opinion.
Interesting. Okay, I'm with you on some of this. I'm not with you on the tuna salad. I am with you on the fact that it's good to have flavorful sandwiches. And, you know, fuck to the smell is what I say. You're going to stink anyway. You're in a Subway. You're going to smell like the bread at least. So, you know, make yourself stinky when you're out of there. Have fun.
Exactly. That's the whole point of eating. Well, just like that, we have checked our temps. Everybody stay safe. I hope you can put a ton of stuff on your sandwich and not have it explode all over the bag. And we will be back with another tip check tomorrow. Let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
California became the first state in the country to pass a law developing proposals for reparations for slavery yesterday. The law creates a task force that will work to determine things like who will be eligible to receive compensation and what the reparations will be. The lawmaker behind the bill, Assemblymember Shirley Weber of San Diego, said it's still the federal government's job to provide reparations, that this new law is no replacement for that. A second bill of Weber's was also signed by the governor yesterday. It aims to fight racism in our legal system by making it harder for prosecutors to exclude Black citizens from jury panels. That law is set to take effect for criminal cases in 2022 and civil cases in 2026.
Ugh, this country. All right, well, fires inside the world's largest tropical wetlands continue to burn and destroy its vast ecosystem. The Pantanal in Brazil is home to indigenous communities and a high number of rare and endangered species of animals. Heavy rains would normally help put out the fires, but due to climate change, the area is experiencing its worst drought in 47 years. So far, nearly 8 million acres of land have been burned, which is twice the size of the area burned by California's fires. Many blame Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro for rarely implementing any environmental protections and blocking funding for fire prevention. Bolsonaro has said he sent hundreds of government agents to assist with the fires, but locals and firefighters say these claims are greatly exaggerated. Scientists fear that these record-breaking fires will permanently alter the Pantanal's already fragile ecosystem.
Deeply depressing. Next in problems we have absolutely no time for, over 100,000 defective absentee ballots were sent out to voters in New York City. The city's Board of Elections announced a plan to print nearly 100,000 corrected ballots and mail them out to voters on Tuesday, but not before getting a serious talking to from their two disappointed and warring dads, Mayor Bill de Blasio and Governor Andrew Cuomo. De Blasio said, quote, "I don't know how many times we're going to see this same thing happen at the Board of Elections and be surprised," while Cuomo's secretary said, quote, "To say that we're troubled by this is the understatement of the year." That is a very tense family dinner. I'm sorry, New York City Board of Elections, but you are so stinking grounded. Trump has already tried to use the situation in New York for his political gain, suggesting that the faulty ballots will lead to fraud. In fact, the way the ballot return envelopes are coded makes voting twice with a second ballot nearly impossible.
The beautiful boaters keep getting bigger, guys. The White House blocked an order from the CDC that would have kept cruise ships from sailing until mid-February in a move that should appease the powerful tourism industry in the swing state of Florida. An extension of the current no-sail policy was supported by CDC Director Dr. Robert R. Redfield, who said that cruises could become super-spreader events again like they were at the start of the pandemic, and that didn't resonate with Trump's coronavirus task force, who in this case were more convinced by doctors that suggested putting the lime in the coconut and drinking them both up. Cruise lines have taken a big economic hit from the virus, no surprise. And recently, industry lobbyists and Republican politicians in Florida have been calling on the federal government to let them resume business. With this latest development, ships can set sail the day after Halloween so that passengers can finally find out what's scarier, Frankenstein and Dracula, or living in a floating hotel with every person who's gone viral for a mask tantrum at Sam's Club. Trump's ability to make all aquatic activities political is still really shocking. In case you were wondering, kayaks, canoes, and some river rafts remain blue state watercraft.
Yeah, canoes are DSA for sure.
And those are the headlines.
That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, don't have a mass tantrum man, and tell your friends to listen.
And if you're into reading and not just the sugar contents of sweet deli bread like me, What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Akilah Hughes.
I'm Gideon Resnick.
And have fun on your kayak, canoe, or river raft. Don't get too wet.
Yeah, don't tip over either. You know, that would just be dangerous.
But. What a Day is a production of Crooked Media.
It's recorded and mixed by Charlotte Landis.
Sonia Tun is our assistant producer.
Our head writer is John Milstein, and our executive producers are Katie Long, Akilah Hughes, and me.
Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.